Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Destroy this temple, Jesus says, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The people listening to him are amazed. They are in the temple in Jerusalem, the temple which has stood for 5 centuries and been under renovation by Herod the Great for decades. The temple which is the center of Jewish religious practice. To speak of the destruction of the temple is shocking. Now, for us to understand this passage, it is helpful to know a bit more about the history of the temple. We can start where we left off last Sunday, with the prophet Samuel anointing David to be king. During his long and troubled reign, David wants to build a temple, a house for the Lord. But God tells him, "No, you will not build a house for me. Instead, I will make a house for you. I will make of your descendants a dynasty of kings who will reign over and care for my people." This promise is a foundation of the hope of the Messiah from the lineage of David. It is David's son, King Solomon, who builds a temple for God. Our reading today begins with Solomon stating his intention to a neighboring king, Hiram of Tyre. From Hiram, Solomon secures vast quantities of fine cedar wood to build his temple. He has huge blocks of the choicest stone quarried and commands that the building's foundation be laid with hewn stone. As 1 Kings describes, the floor of the temple was of fir overlaid with gold. The doorposts of olive wood supported folding doors of fir. The doors of the Holy of Holy were of olive wood. On both sets of doors were carved cherubim, palm trees, and flowers, all being overlaid with gold. No expense is spared in the building of Solomon's temple. Then the second part of our reading skips forward to the time, and the building is finished in that time, and it comes to the place when the Ark of the Covenant is moving into the completed temple, the inner sanctuary, the most holy place under the wings of the cherubim. Now, in the slides, you can see that the temple is built as kind of a series of spaces, of courtyards, and it gets, as you go more and more toward the center, it's kind of more and more exclusive. I'm pretty sure that one of those courts is where the women had to stay. Then the men could go a little closer, but only the priests went into that central part where you see the altar for the sacrifice. And then the Holy of Holies up at the top in gold, that's where the Ark of the Covenant is placed. When the Ark is in its place, our scripture says, the glory of the Lord fills the house of the Lord. God has come to dwell in the temple, and his presence is like a cloud, like the pillar of cloud that went before the Israelites in the wilderness. Remember that in the Ark are the tablets of the covenant, the foundation of the relationship between God and Israel. The Ark and the tablets inside it are a physical representation of God's promise. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Of course, God's presence isn't confined to the temple. All of the people know that God is present throughout God's creation. But the temple is a place set apart, a place of intensified presence of God. It is here that the community gathers for rites and prayers. The faithful people do pilgrimage to the temple for festivals, which are central to their faith. A little more history. This first temple was completed about 957 BCE. And it was in use until it was destroyed by the Babylonians in 587, when the Babylonians conquered the Israelites and took them into exile. After the return from exile in 516 BCE, the temple was rebuilt. And it was this second temple, in capital letters, the second temple that Jesus visited. In 70 CE, the second temple was destroyed by Rome, and it was never rebuilt. Today, that place is a Muslim holy site. The 12th century Dome of the Rock and Al-Aqsa Mosque were built there. It is the third holiest site in Islam. And so you can see the gold with the beautiful blue tile is the Dome of the Rock. And you can see there how they're laid out. And then this one, the original temple walls are a Jewish holy site, the Western Wall or the Wailing Wall. And that's in this one down below. Those are the stone walls of the temple. And Jews go there to pray and to leave their prayers in the wall, which gives just a little glimpse of the complexities of the Holy Land. As these sites, so many places have overlaid holy places for Jews and for Christians and for Muslims, and it's very, very difficult. But back to our story. Worship at the temple was a key part of the religious life of the Jews, including Jesus and also the first hearers of the gospel. If you remember, all the Gospels were written between the years 70 and 90 CE. So it is likely that all of the Gospel writers were living through the devastation of the temple's destruction. What now, the people wondered. Now that the temple has been destroyed and we will never rebuild, how will we practice our faith? And the Gospels offer a response. Jesus is the new temple. Jesus is the new hope. Jesus is the location of the presence and power and mystery of God. One of John's primary images of Jesus throughout his gospel is as the Lamb of God, the temple sacrifice of atonement, whose death and resurrection puts us into right relationship with God. So, okay, I'm a Bible nerd, and you just got a little Bible lecture. It's a good thing for a pastor to be. I love all this history of Scripture. I'm excited about the way the Bible stories echo each other back and forth, Old Testament and New Testament. But what does all of this say to us now? In the middle of our own anxiety and grief, the violence and destruction that we see around us. First, it reminds us of God's constant presence with God's people. From the pillar of clouds in the wilderness to the cloud and storm on the mountaintop to the cloud that filled that first temple, from the renewal of faith and practice in the second temple after exile to the promise of Jesus, who is God with us. God's desire has always been to be with us, to be known by us, to love and be loved by us. When Jesus knew he was going to be arrested and killed, he made a new promise to his disciples, a promise that we claim and participate in whenever we gather for Holy Communion. Jesus knew that it is hard for us to have only in our head our faith and our practice, right, and not in our hands. And so he said to them, take this bread and eat. Take and drink this cup. And whenever you gather to share this meal, I am there with you. What's more, this story of building and rebuilding. The temple is built and destroyed, built and destroyed. The house of David falls into exile and is restored in Jesus. The body of Jesus is killed and then resurrected to new life. All of this reminds us that we have a God who works from destruction and despair to bring new life and new hope. Today is Reformation Sunday, a day that reminds us that things always change. that sometimes an ending, a separation, is the most faithful thing because it makes way for something new. Martin Luther didn't set out to start a new church, but to reform the church that he loved enough to be grieved by its errors and abuses and work for something better. Luther's excommunication was a loss, an ending of something he cared deeply about, but it was also the thing that freed him to do the work he was to do. He translated the Bible and wrote the Small Catechism to put the study of faith and the growth in relationship with God into the hands of all the people. Martin Luther gives us an example of standing firm in faith, even in the face of loss and grief, outrage and fear. It's hard when we are in the midst of fear and pain, when despair hovers near, to see our way through. And that is why we tell the Bible stories of destruction and renewal, of death and new life, and we tell our own stories of finding hope in the middle of our struggle. We know that God is everywhere in God's creation, but we come here because in our church, in our community of faith, we find an intensified sense of God's presence. Gathering in this space and sharing in this meal is one way that we practice our faith together, sharing with one another that tangible presence of God's love, promise of God's love. So we come week after week to hear the Bible stories, which are our stories. We sing and we pray, and then we gather at the table, where we hear again that Jesus comes to meet us this day, meeting us here in the midst of sorrow and fear and whatever we bring. Jesus is here to give us courage and hope. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.